Louis Patron here. Good morning. I am here with the Key West Lou Talk Show, technically known as the Key West Lou Blog Talk Radio Show, which I have shortened to Key West Lou Talk Show. I'm talking to you. I'm speaking to you. I'm from bright and shiny Key West, Florida, except it isn't bright and shiny yet because it's still dark outside. In fact, the sun is just breaking over the horizon. The sky has a smattering of white clouds. I got to tell you, this is absolutely beautiful. It's like someone took a brush and painted the white clouds, just brushed them along in one stroke, and the pink that is coming up from the sun breaking, just breaking over the horizon, absolutely magnificent. It's like God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. Okay, having given you your papal blessing for the morning, we had a lot of things happen this week. Let's start talking with the inauguration. But before I get to that, remember, this is a talk show. I would like someone to call in and speak with me. The call-in number is 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. It's on the screen in front of you, the call-in number. Dial it. Give me a call. Ask me anything, say anything, agree, disagree, and we'll have a chat. Very simple. And if you're outside the country, because I know people are listening today from Italy, South Africa, and Indonesia, definitely you may use Skype to make your call. And it's supposed to be cheap. I don't know. I've never tried it. Okay, let's talk about the inauguration yesterday. I watched the swearing-in portion from about 11:30 to 1 o'clock. I was absolutely impressed. I was taken. It caused me to be emotional on occasion. I did have tears dripping down my cheeks at some of the things the president said, at some of the songs, Star Spangled Banner and all that sort of stuff that were sung by such great singers. Very moving. And seeing the faces of former presidents like President Clinton and President Carter. And seeing the first family react to each other, the Michelle Obama giving her husband a peck before he went up, the kids joking with their parents and talking with friends behind them. It was family time. It was a happy time. I thought it was terrific, which brings me now to Fox on television. I like to watch what I call the opposition. I concede I'm a liberal at heart. Not a diehard liberal, and not far to the left like some people are far to the right. However, I am a liberal, but occasionally I will look at Fox because I want to know what the opposition's doing. After the swear-in, I went to see what Fox had to say about what I considered one of the best swearing-in ceremonies, most moving swearing-in ceremonies since 1960, and I probably have seen them all. I can't believe that the people on Fox could come up with so many negatives about the inauguration. It was a beautiful event. The people were charming and beautiful. Everything that was said was lovely. Even the president's speech, though you may not have agreed with the content, and they cut everything apart from Michelle Obama's dress, Michelle Obama's coat, through the president's tie. They took the president's words, one or two words, and they cut them and they dissected them. And, you know, they're on the other side. They get paid to find things negative about the president and his administration. But there are times when you don't do this and just say, this is an all-American day today. This is a Democratic and Republican day. I got to tell you something. I don't like Eric Cantor. I think he looks like, I'm going to insult the accounting profession. I think he looks like a CPA. He's got, you know, those glassy, they're not rimmed, but glasses on, and he squeaks his eyes. He never smiles, and when he does, I think it's a devious smile. He was there yesterday, three or four rows up into all the activity, and he was warmly greeting everyone. He was happy to be there. And I make this observation because we were told that many of the Republicans left town. They did not want to attend the swearing-in ceremony. So Lewis found it to be moving, entertaining, patriotic, etc., etc. And I'll bet you this morning, at this time already, our president, showered, shaved, dressed, suit, shirt, and tie, is sitting behind his desk in the Oval Office, and his back is back to work. There is no, I would say, no rest for the wicked, but that would be insulting. There just is no rest for a person in that job. Okay, no one's calling me in yet. I'm looking for, I can tell when you call in. They can list the numbers over here. People listen to the show. I know that because after the show, I provided by Block Talk Radio with how many people listen and how many called in. One day I had two people call in. That's all. No one else has ever called in, and this is week six now of my show. Please call me. I promise I won't insult you unless you insult me. The number is 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. Now I'm going to switch to a topic close to my heart. Syracuse University basketball. I know some of you listening feel as I do about Syracuse. And for those of you who don't follow Syracuse basketball, please bear with me. I am proud of my team. I graduated from the law school at Syracuse in 1960. Two great basketball games this week. The first game was against Louisville. Syracuse is ranked number six in the country. We only lost one game. Louisville's ranked number one. They've only lost one game. It was one of the finest basketball games I have seen in my life. It was March Madness. It was the Final Four. There are only another handful of games in over 50 years that I've seen, and I'm a basketball freak, that could compare with the quality of the game, the quality of the playing, the quality of both teams. Syracuse won by 2 points. Syracuse could have lost by 2 points. It was that kind of a game. It was exciting to watch. Having seen Syracuse knock off number one Louisville, I assume that Syracuse would jump up to number one in the country. We beat number one. We have only lost one game. The other four teams ahead of us in the prior rankings had only lost one game. We had beaten what was the best of the best last week. We should be number one. We weren't. We're tied for three in one poll, and we're number four in another poll. We don't get respect at Syracuse. I mean, I followed the basketball program religiously every year. We've had some fantastic years. One year we won the Final Four. We've been to the Final Four. We never get any respect. The TV sports commentators always say, well, Syracuse is lucky to be here. They're fortunate they got this far. We don't get credit. I think that Syracuse, when it comes to basketball, is the Rodney Dangerfield of the college basketball world, and it's upsetting. Yesterday, Syracuse played Cincinnati. I thought it would be a difficult game. Cincinnati was ranked 21st in the country. We're ranked 3 and 4. Cincinnati only lost 3 games. We've lost one game. So we're pretty close. And I thought it was going to be a difficult game. Turned out it was. Oh, my God. It wasn't as great a basketball game. It was not, could not even be considered a great basketball game. Syracuse won again by 2 points. And I really thought we were going to lose to Cincinnati a couple of times. They were popping in threes like nobody's business. But we pulled it out. Somehow, the Syracuse teams of the past several years know how to win. I don't know how you teach a bunch of guys that, but they know how to win. Okay, I've talked about the inauguration. I talked about Syracuse basketball, which to me is on a plane equal to the inauguration. And no one has called in yet. Please call me in. The number, call in and talk to me. The number is 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. What shall we talk about now? Let's talk about the filibuster. The filibuster. You know what a filibuster is? It's in the United States Senate. And somehow they got this screwy rule that it should be majority rule. There are 100 senators. If you got 51 votes, you win. Okay? You can move anything. But They have a rule that if someone's in opposition to a bill, all they have to do is talk forever. They can talk for days, which is what they did in times of old. They talked for days, and they prevented the bill from coming to a vote. Now what they do, because the Republicans are filibustering the Democrats so much, they just tell the Democratic leader, we're going to filibuster, and the bill's withdrawn by the Democrat. There is an opportunity once a year on today's date, the first day, the opening day of the United States Senate in the new term, and this is the day, where the Senate can change the rules. Democrats have the majority vote. They have 53 or 5500 votes. By majority vote, they can get rid of filibuster. And Reid, who is from Nevada, the United States Senator, who's the majority leader in the United States Senate, has not as yet spoken as to what his position will be. I hope they get rid of it. Not because it will help the Democrats to legislate, but it will help the country to move ahead. Because the recalcitrant Republicans are blocking and holding up Obama's program. It's his time. Let's see what he can do. Let's see what he's got on the table for us. And when it's their turn, they should have it the same way when they've got a Republican president and they control the Republican Senate. I have a call in, my friends. I have, let's see, I haven't done this in a long time. I have a call in. I have, hello?
Hello?
Hello. I've got Anna from Novara, Italy. Hello, Anna.
I have a question to put you.
All right. Look, ask me your question, Anna.
Have you read the Financial Times, what said the newspaper Financial Times, who said about our government? Technocrat government we have right now in Italy. They said Mr. Monti is not the right person to be the prime minister in Italy because he forgot our interests, the citizenship and so on, in order to follow Mrs. Merkel and the interests.
Anna is my friend, by the way. I love Anna from Novara, Italy. We have been friends for many years.
I agree that Monti
is not a good president. He was not a good president for you. He raised taxes, I think, 3 times, income taxes.
Yeah.
They have imposed real estate taxes that are a total burden.
People are getting taxed for a living.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He promised a lot of reforms, and instead he put a lot of taxes. So said Financial Times.
But now, isn't he going to be out of office in March? You're going to have a new election?
By the end of February. And
Mr. Berlusconi or his people are going to be back, right?
Yeah, maybe he's raising a lot of followers right now because in Northern Italy we fed up with Mr. Monti, and
do you think things would be better under a Silvio Berlusconi government?
But at least he is a very good businessman, so we are confident of him because he could follow our interest. And Mr. Monti forgot Italy in order to follow a big European issue like banks and the big...
Monti's been led by the Germans. Merkel is leading Monti by the nose or by the neck like a dog. Monti's been sucking up to her.
Sorry. One thing more, a lot of people here is believing that we are like in Weimar Republic before Nazism, and we will end in Nazism. We are afraid.
Resurrected before, though. Italy always comes back from the days of the Roman Empire till now. Tell me something, Anna. What do the Italian people think of the re-election of Barack Obama as president?
Well,
hello?
We hope that the United States will rise from the depression, and so we could follow you maybe in the future. We do not know. Right now in Europe there is a big depression, but
we've got a recession here too, though.
No, yours
is worse.
This is worse. Mr. Monti and Merkel put us in a very, very big depression. We are lucky today because we now know that UK disagree a lot with Mr. Merkel and Mr. Monti political issues. So we hope. We hope in the election.
Anna, thank you for calling me. I appreciate it. Call me again next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. I'm back. Am I alone? So infrequently do I get a caller that I hope I didn't press a button that closed me down here. I was trying to find the button I had to close. To close off Anna from Navarra, Italy. Anna's an interesting woman. Italy's an interesting place today. Half of the businesses in Italy are shut down right now, and it's because of this euro problem. Germany has screwed up the economy of Europe. Germany is the richest country in Europe today, and they were 10 years ago. When the Europeans, most of the countries, got into this euro thing. And they loaned a lot of money, the Germans, to various countries. And it's just like our mortgage problem, where people were loaned so much money on their homes, knowing they couldn't pay it back to banks, but they didn't care because they were selling the paper, they were investing in it, trading it, it was insured. And it's the same thing over there now. The people in Greece, Italy, Portugal, Spain cannot pay Germany. And Germany's going crazy. Mrs. Merkel, their prime minister, they're going crazy because they got to get paid. If they don't get paid, their economy's going to fall. It's a dynamo effect. It's all very interesting. Okay, thank you for calling, Anna. I was talking about filibusters. I think that we should get rid of the filibuster. And I think we should get rid of it for all time, unless there's an abuse of not having the filibuster. And the advantage the Democrats will gain at this time will be there for the Republicans to gain and take advantage of when they control the United States Senate, as we all know they will, because it's a pendulum. Republicans get into power, then Democrats, then they split power, then it's all the one party's back and forth. As it should be. Okay, what do I want to talk about next? Somebody call me up again. Anna, that was terrific. Somebody call me. 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. If you are calling outside the United States, use Skype, as I assume Anna did. Let's see now here. Interesting story I read over the weekend. People go to jail because they broke the law. In some fashion, they are criminal. They are crooks. Now, we have a lot of people in jail in this country. We have more people in jail per capita than any other country in the world. I think we put too many people in jail. And the reason I'm saying this is your tax dollars and mine support these people in jail. It costs about $85,000 a year per inmate to maintain them. Forget the physical structure that's been built already. It costs about $85,000 a year to maintain one prisoner. Okay, what are they doing now? Prisoners they have ingenuity. I got to tell you, they must have had ingenuity to be thieves or whatever they did, murderers, I don't know. They've got ingenuity while they're sitting there doing their 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 20 year life sentences. What has occurred? They're filing fraudulent tax returns. They're not earning income that they have to report for tax purposes because they don't make enough money. They should not be filing a return, but they are filing returns, and they are claiming refund, okay? Let me tell you to what extent. You're going to find this hard to believe. $173,000, you heard me, $173,000 fraudulent tax returns were filed last year. They were filed for purposes of obtaining a tax refund by prisoners in jail. You got it, by prisoners in jail, $173,000. That was up from 2010. In 2010, it was only about $75,000. Whatever this scam is, word got around all the jails, I guess, and the number doubled dramatically. Again, the inmates are claiming refunds. They don't necessarily or generally always use their own identities. They steal someone's identity and Social Security number to do this. The tax refunds for 2012 that were false, were phony, by people in jail, totaled $2.5 billion. $2.5 billion, and our government knows they're doing it. The IRS is aware, and they caught people trying to defraud the government and get tax refunds where they weren't even working, to the tune of $2.5 billion. Okay. Nobody's calling me, but Anna, love you, Anna. Let's, what are you doing over there? I know Rita down in Kalisthorpe, South Africa. I got Jackie in Jakarta, Indonesia. I'm sure I got Tom Dixon in Buffalo. I've got my friend Cindy and Tom out in Iowa. I'm sure these people are listening, and somebody call me with a question. There are people up in the Syracuse area who disagree with me vehemently on my political stance. Would make for interesting conversation if I heard from them. The call-in number again is 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. If you're calling from outside the United States, use Skype telephone. I want to go back to Benghazi. What is it now? 2 months where our ambassador got killed and three other Americans. The Congress of the United States are in a furor, especially the House of Representatives. They're investigating. They are of the opinion that Hillary Clinton screwed up here. And remember, they were chasing her butt for a while. And she said, oh, I can't appear to testify because I fell and banged my head and I don't feel good. And they thought it was a made-up concussion. They had some insulting statements to say about her, and then we find out she's in the hospital with a blood clot on the brain. Put that aside. They still want her to testify. Whether she does or not is her business. She's already sent her chief aide or first assistant in to testify as to what her department knew. What I want to know is this. It wasn't the four people who died who were there alone. There was a staff of 10 to 20 extra people, Americans who were there, okay? I'm not sure of the number because the news articles are vague on this. Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 17, sometimes it's 13. But they were there, and they were injured. They were shot, or they got shrapnel, or something happened. They were injured, the people over and above the four that died. And these people were airlifted out to American hospitals, probably in Germany, and probably they're now in the United States. Have we heard from them? Not one of them has been interviewed by the media. The media does not comment on these people, which bothers me. No one asks the question, why don't we hear their story? We should hear their story. They were there too, and I would trust their story and find it more reliable and more believable than any testimony by any person who was not there. But they don't testify. I'm sure the government knows what they are going to say. And it bothers me that it's being secreted, not shared with the American people or with the world. Does not speak well for our government because good, bad, or indifferent, you heard me, good, bad, or indifferent, things should come out that happen. Get the truth out, get it out right away, deal with the issue, and move on. Remember the girl in India that was raped? She was raped by six guys on a bus. Then they threw her out. They wanted the bus to run over. They beat up her boyfriend. They raped her consistently. Rape's a big thing over in India, especially in the cities in Delhi. A woman is not respected in the Muslim world, okay? She is a second-class citizen. She sits in the back of the bus. Their bodies are for the use of men. And this goes on constantly. In India last year alone, there were 42,000 rapes, okay? 42,000 rapes. Less than 100 were reported, and only a handful were prosecuted. None to any success. The men, if they go to trial, beat the charges. The women are so ashamed, though, that they rarely report it. That's why out of 42,000 rapes, only about 100 were reported. There's a shame that attaches to it. All kinds of bad things happen. Well, this woman's death has aroused the sensitivities of the world and apparently the sensitivities of Italy. It's only 2 or 3 months later. This all happened December 16th. The number's fixed in my mind because I have been following this. And these people, these six guys are going to trial this week or next week. They put them on some sort of a fast track that the Indian government has in their court system. And these six people, men, are going to trial. In the meantime, the women are protesting in the streets, even though they're more afraid now than before. The rapes continue to go on. Women who work after hours, their employers are required to provide them with drivers to take them home. They don't take public transportation. It's too dangerous. Women now in India are carrying mace and using it. The attacks are up. The women are defending themselves. They are protesting, and sometimes when they are protesting, they are beaten in the streets. But there is a movement underway in India to change the situation of defecating upon the female gender. It takes a while, and for some reason, this rape did it, just like Newtown. And those 20 kindergarten or first grade kids who got killed, it's going to change the climate with regard to gun control in this country. It may not be what a lot of people want, but it is going to somehow dramatically affect it before Obama's done. Things happen that trigger the humanity and the people, and the Indian girl who was raped is such a person. Well, that's my show for the week. At least I had one call in. An intelligent woman and a very interested in government. Her husband was formerly a member of the cabinet of a president. He was a secretary or commissioner of transportation. Her husband was her former husband was a senator, a federal senator, an Italian federal senator. He was also a mayor. So she has a background in politics and knows what she is talking about. I thank you for joining me this week. Come back next week. Be prepared to ask some questions, please. Again, I appreciate you joining me. I know it's early. I'm going to review my time and see maybe if another time would be more beneficial. Everyone's telling me it's too early. We shall see. Thank you again for joining me. That's the show